today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The charter school that she's looking at right now was all about the Cambridge system and academics and STEM, science, technology, math, and eating.
That's what it is. Eating your
that's
math.
That's what it is. Yeah. It's Michael, go wash your hands and brush your teeth. And he says, no. I said, Michael, come here. When that tone, I said, right now, one, two, and he comes out and he stands there. And I said, do not speak to your mother like that. Now, how do we respond to that question? Let's do it again. And his mom says, Michael, I need you to go brush your teeth and wash your hands. And he says, no, mommy.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm realizing that last night, probably after all the State of the Onion fun, I probably turned in around 11:15, 11:30. And my body is telling me today that I should have turned in at 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Oh, no.
That's what my body is telling me right now. It's one of those situations. And by the way, the tea that I enjoyed earlier this morning, I'm wondering whether there really is a caffeine factor.
What variety did you use?
Let me ask you guys this. You're caffeiners, both of you. Uh-huh. Let me ask you this. As far as a beverage, since I don't drink coffee, as far as a beverage where you consume a beverage, now take drugs out of this. The drugs are not relevant. But a beverage that you drink, are there any beverages that you are aware of where as soon as you consume it, you feel a surge of energy race through your body?
Oh, you power up?
Yeah, you've done the 5-hour energy that you used to destroy your liver.
Destroyed my stomach.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think
your stomach, not your liver.
I don't think that there's any particular single beverage that would do it because it all has to do with absorption.
I think it also matters your body mass index has a lot to do with like what you drink and how
well,
it affects you.
Well, then screw me. So, I'm out in that case.
So no,
that,
you don't so take Excedrin.
So that ratio, and I'll give you an example here. Rob Ford, roughly like 40, 50 pounds heavier than I am, right? I'm 194. Yes. So.
You're saying he weighs 240?
He probably does, right? No?
Maybe I'd take the over on that.
Over?
I'd take the over on that one, too.
What do you think he weighs?
I'd say he's probably 280. I think so. What do you think, Mike?
I think he weighs 1,000 pounds.
Okay. Just some different numbers there. All right. I'll keep that in mind. Well,
that can't be right.
I'll drink the same weight
as I was in high school.
An 8-ounce Red Bull, a little guy.
Okay.
As soon as I drink it within five minutes of me drinking that drink, I'm like, whoa, I'm up. He has to drink the Silo 16-ounce for that to happen. And I've seen it.
I've never been a Red Bull guy because I've always been afraid.
I hate the flavor.
What it does.
I hate the flavor too. It's bad tasting. Yeah.
What do you drink to stimulate yourself?
I'm a soda guy. If I have to, I'll pound it.
But how many do you drink? Remember we established this.
A couple.
To get you going.
Yeah.
All right. So what?
Regular soda or diet soda?
Either one. I mean, the caffeine's going to be roughly the same.
It's 24 ounces.
The same amount of caffeine.
How much tea are you drinking?
A cup of tea.
All right,
so probably like a cup of Tazo breakfast blend.
Well, breakfast blend is going to be a caffeinated blend and probably a little extra caffeine if it's a breakfast blend, and that's probably 12 ounces. Mike, it's probably ounces.
Do you have any low residue snacks with that tea?
No, I haven't had any snacks this morning.
Oh, you need fuel. You got to fuel yourself, Mike.
Yeah, the food.
Where's
you need?
Carla?
Just couldn't make it on time. She's going to the charter school that I told you about the websites yesterday.
Oh, she finally got in.
What about your eggs? You need your eggs. Huh?
I make my own eggs every morning. Just couldn't make it on time today. But she's off to the charter school, and she's going to give me a full report. And this is the one that had the great website about what they do academically, where the other website was pickup and drop-off procedures that I talked about yesterday. And by the way, the little guy, you know, you don't tell. With a kid, you can tell if a kid's dragging his ass by just the mood.
Mm. Yeah.
By his mood. And this morning, the greatest exchange. This is why you have to be specific. You have to be literal with a five-year-old. Because if you're not, you will not communicate your message. So there are multiple things now that my five-year-old boy is doing on his own. Makes his bed.
Good.
Cleans his room.
Cool.
And he brushes his teeth and washes his hands. And quite often he can get himself into his little outfit for school. And he's just edible. The age is becoming... every day that I think that it can't get better, it gets better with him because of discussions I have. I picked him up at school yesterday, and now it's onto the subject of hating girls, and it's so hysterical. It's
who
every
led that
day
conversation?
A party. So we're coming out, and his little friend, what's her name? Little Carly, coming out of the school with her dad.
Hi, Carly.
Who, by the way, is 1,000 years younger than I am.
Uh-huh.
And we're walking out, and he holds the door for us. And as we turn away, and we're going to the car, and I hear the little girl, just adorable little girl's voice, "Bye, Michael."
Oh, boy.
And of course, silence. And I said, "Are you going to say goodbye to Carly? Are you going to say goodbye?" And I hear, "Bye."
Yeah.
But getting back to the little,
he's
five. It's fantastic. Yeah. So I work him when we get into the car, and I say, "Girls are wonderful." "No, they're not." I said, "Yes, they are. They smell wonderful. They look wonderful, and they're better than we are." He says, "Dad, no, they're not." I'm just cruising.
Oh,
I'm cruising
so
along.
So great. That's the
I'm
greatest.
I'm cruising along with him. I'm just having a blast.
That's
and
awesome.
This morning, though, he's his fatigue manifests itself, and his mind does on this show occasionally, of being in a bit of a mood. So he's in a bit of a mood.
Fit city.
And he says, how does he respond? Really, really nasty to his mom. He says, "Michael, go wash your hands and brush your teeth." And he says, "No." I said, "Michael, come here." When that tone, I said, "Right now, one, two," and he comes out and he stands there, and I said, "Do not speak to your mother like that." Now, how do we respond to that question? Let's do it again. And his mom says, "Michael, I need you to go brush your teeth and wash your hands." And he says, "No, mommy." He didn't know that I was looking for a totally different response. He thought it was all
the
about tone.
Yes.
Please don't be
I
vague.
I wasn't specific.
Do
with
not
him.
Be vague with him.
"No, mommy, I'd really rather not do that right now."
"If you please."
Right.
Now, question, talking about the charter school and the friction with Carly, is he liking school any better? Last we spoke, he was not liking school that much.
Yeah, I think he is. I think we're not getting the, he seems to be... the reason it's taken a while though.
Yeah, it was. It is February.
I'm talking about this school. the school environment, because of this Montessori thing, low lighting, mellow, the kids are all kind of chill and stuff like that. And I think a boy at that age really just wants to go into an environment where you go,
do they get recess time where they can go out and scream and run into that?
They have, playground time prior to classes. So if you get there early, he just gets to hang out on the playground. And for the Montessori schools in Chicago last week, that's really problematic.
It's tough.
That's really,
well, you said yourself, you hang out and you chill. They really chill.
You hang out and you chill. You just sit there and
literally.
Go, it's like, by the way, the tongue stuck to the light pole, like Flick. With the tongue just going...
Teacher comes in and says, "Where's Flick?"
Flick. Ralphie's look. Still one of the greatest movies. Like, I don't know. I don't know where he is. His tongue stuck to the light pole out there. Yes, sir. What?
Do you think he's bored?
Bored with school?
Yeah, because some kids are so, they get it. They're with it.
They're ahead of the academic curve.
He hangs out with adults all the time, so... He's found a way to communicate even at five.
He doesn't just hang out with adults, Oscar. He is constantly surrounded by people that are 1,000 years old. I've used that 1,000 number quite a bit today, but including Dad. You know, and he asks me periodically. I should full disclosure here. I should share with our audience that he asks me periodically, Dad, how old are you?
No, and, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Why would he ask that?
Let me tell you why he would ask that. He would ask that because I believe that the subject may come up occasionally when he sees, you know, when he sees Ernest Hemingway, you know, when his friends see Ernest Hemingway picking him up at school.
Your grandpa.
They wonder about that. But by the way.
But you're popular among the kids because you do voices and you make them laugh and stuff.
Not like his old school. Because it's the chill environment.
Oh.
Like, I go to pick him up. It's a darkened lobby with the kids sitting on the floor. And it's like, and I walked in yesterday to pick him up and the teacher goes, Michael. And then he gets up. It's kind of weird, kind of cultish. You know, I have no idea what's really going on in there. I don't engage because I don't like the dark.
Dark lobby.
It's like an opium.
No, it's
den.
The lights are off. They have the.
It's like
they,
a pod. Pod people.
This is a standard thing, I believe.
I've heard a little bit about the Montessori system. I never knew it involved dark lighting.
Well, no, low light. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. You're asking me questions. I didn't pay the power bill.
Yeah.
I'm engaged with different things, but this particular, I feel a level of discomfort with this environment. So I'm not there as often as I was with the other place.
Meanwhile, he stops by and it looks like the shop from from Gremlins where they picked up.
It's all dark.
Dark.
By the way, there's not a tremendous amount of parental engagement when I go for pickup. Or when I went to the program that they had. There's just not. I don't know why there's not, but there's not. Mm. Maybe it's because they're all 28 years old.
Because a lot of the parents over the past 8 months, a lot of the parents have mysteriously died.
They left the children to school.
I don't engage.
That's right.
I don't engage that much.
Like, you got enough on your plate.
You do.
Oscar, I've engaged before this, and I plan to engage again. This particular environment, I just don't feel is in my wheelhouse. Carla is much more of the engage, but she does not engage.
What's her take on the dim lighting and the mysterious atmosphere?
She is more all in than I am. Carla is the definitive advocate for my son's education.
Okay.
She is the one who is engaging in this. She will bring me in. She will bring me in to say, hey, review this. That's where I got that interesting website information. Mm-hmm. By the way, we'll have more of that later in the broadcast. wheel criticism, day two. I think you'll love this. This is the fixes in. This is the big. By the way, I'm going to shoot my wad with all my show prep, like in the opening vignette.
It's great.
I'm so desperate to talk about that. Enough with my kid's school because I want to get right to this. Okay. All right. Because this is really. And then I have nothing for the rest of the show.
No, you have plenty.
Here it is. This is the. Just to put the whole school thing to bed, she's been very diligent. And I know a website does not make a school.
No.
But she'll have a full report. And I'm not there, obviously, because I'm doing this in this fine city, in this fine environment. Gentlemen, in control. But I'm doing that, and she's going to give me a full report and come back and let me know what happened with the charter school.
Yeah.
I'm very optimistic. But once again, even when you're optimistic, you don't know whether they're going to get in or not.
Right.
And I just, as I said yesterday, to recap, the charter school that she's looking at right now was all about the Cambridge system and academics and STEM, science, technology, math, and eating.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. Yeah, it's science, technology,
engineering,
eclairs,
and moose,
and mathematics, and moose soup. Science, technology, eclairs, and moose soup. The STEM program. So she's into it, and I'm very engaged to find out, because kindergarten is when it really starts next year for him.
Right.
This year, but in the fall. That's when it really starts for him.
Aren't these the critical developmental years? And he's already in school. It's fantastic.
He's doing a good job. And
Did you go to preschool?
I did. I went to Gideon Wells Library in Glastonbury, Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
and I have a vague memory of it. That's why I realized that in the coming years is when he's really going to start tracking with me.
Yeah.
I hope he's got strong memories of these years, because, you know, I can't explain it to him, but I'd like to say, hold on to all the memories you can. You never know when that's all you're going to have.
Daddy, you know? All I remember is the dark, scary place.
I'll have these shows, Mike. I'll have these
shows. Have these shows.
You know, that is true. It's like a daily diary.
My wonderful son, you know, when it's just like, okay, Daddy's picking you up at school. Yeah.
Daddy's van pulls up.
Daddy's van pulls up.
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Michael, what is your first memory? I remember Daddy parking in the parking spot that had a blue square on it.
We always had great parking.
We always right by the door.
How was the eighth grade kickball?
What, Dad?
How was the eighth grade kickball? Yeah.
Dad, get back in the van. All right, anyway. No, that's who knows.
They're doing some sort of profile.
I plan to be as fit as possible for as long as possible.
He's a breakout athlete. Yes. And they're like, oh, well, what's your training? Because it started when I was young. These oxygen tanks, you know, they weigh 20 pounds a piece. And I was 8. And I was carrying two at a time.
And it was all about routine. Always had to lock the wheels, put the lever in gauge, and then up with the lever.
All right, enough with the wheelchair humor. by the way, I am... the picture of health. That's why I'm being required to have an EKG before I have a colonoscopy. That's when you know they're worried
about it. Oh,
no. Yeah. 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 They're thorough, right?
Sure.
They're overly thorough.
Literally.
But it does, you know, there's a reason why anything you get done, they want an AKG.
You know, it never hurts to be careful.
I'm 40. I'm up for one, right? So this is the first year?
They do it to check your ticker. Yeah. That's what they do. And it's because FAT, fat.
Right.
Okay. By the way, Rob doesn't mention that he has to get an EKG before he gets his driver's license renewed.
Yeah, before every show.
You're going to have to come in for a brief EKG.
You know, the EKG at the DMV is the worst.
I know. The thing about these procedures is it's an anesthesiologist, because they're going to put you under before they put the thing in your pooper. And then, it's what it is.
That's where
the hose goes. Yeah. So you use that sound. I said, okay, it's in.
But then it's...
Do you have any colonoscopy music that you can find? Take your time.
Yeah,
Your time and find some colonoscopy.
Deep Impact.
Okay, let's see what I can do.
Yeah. Let's see if I can find some particular sound effects that... all right, here we go.
Oh, no, no, no.
No, that's not it. I'm sorry. That's not what I want. Here we go. This is the sound of the tube going in.
Ah!
How about this?
What's it? No, that's cheap. Come on. Work harder. Come on now. Come on. Okay. Show's on now. You can work hard.
Okay.
Very good. This is it. Anyway. All right, can we be done with colonoscopy?
If we have to,
I'm get fascinated. On colonoscopy.
You know, about the procedure. You brought it up.
No, this is, I think at 40, I have to go. It would be my first one this year.
What is this?
This is the Doors.
Colonoscopy music?
Yeah, back door man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, turn it off.
That's
I can't
horrible.
Concentrate.
Come
I can't
on,
hear
Mike.
Myself
what's the matter there. With you?
I can't. I'm trying. You know what? We have to start the show.
We really
when
should.
When we come back, I will bring you my nightly criticism of my boring life Wheel of Fortune. Yeah. By the way, big Disney Hawaii trips this week.
Hey! I suck.
We'll be right back.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I think my favorite sign that I've seen is bridge may be icy. Because it's so honest, you know? It's just like, bridge, maybe, I don't know. I'm a sign. I don't have a conscious mind. I'm a... tilted yellow square. I mean, what are these shapes on the front of me? I mean, bridge may be chocolate, whatever you want. I don't care. Bridge may not be icy. That means the same thing as bridge may be icy. That's even better, you know, more optimistic. That's a better sign. Bridge may not be icy. Hey, I like your attitude, sign. Bridge probably not icy. Give it a shot. Even better. It's August. Bridge probably not icy. You're right. One sign I don't like is please use other door. You're a door. You don't get to take a break. Just be a door. Just swing. This door thinks it's a wall. This is ridiculous.
This is Wade Byard, the public information officer for Loudoun County Public Schools. The Mike O'Mara Show has decided to start now. Please make all necessary arrangements to listen. This is the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. And now, without further delay, here's Mike O'Mara.
All right, dialects for every city that's on the list this week.
Oh, excellent, right? Excellent.
Port Clyde, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Freeport, Texas. Newport News, Virginia. That was terrible, because there is no dialect.
No, it's not. Uh-uh.
Well, Newport News, you know. Yo, Newport News, Virginia, man.
Maybe, yeah. I'd
all
say
right,
that.
Portola, California. What are you doing here?
How'd you get here?
Yeah, man. Orange Estado, Aruba. Yeah, come to Aruba. And Appanada, Musinki, Alaska. It's terrible. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. We're happy to have you here. For your newbies, get ready to be just incredibly entertained. For those of you that have been here for the whole ride, God bless you for keeping us chugging every day. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you, even when you get real stinky. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Today brought to you by Harry's. I don't know much, but I do know this. I know that Harry's gives me the best shave of my life every morning, every time. Print it and take it upstairs to the fat man.
Mm.
Why not join the 10 million who have tried Harry's? Harry's razor glided across my lovely cheeks today, moments ago in my shower. Claim your trial offer by going to harrys.com/TMOS. You see, Harry's figured out a way to make it extra crisp. No, I'm sorry. That's a Kentucky
that's not
Fried
right.
Chicken. Let me start again.
Please.
I love Harry's. I don't need words on a page.
No, you know.
Harry's. I just this week ordered not only my Harry's razors, but I ordered my shave gel, which is the best in the world.
Yes, the best.
I ordered my face wash, which I use every day. I use Harry's products every day because they're the best. And the only thing I want from Harry's, because the quality is so superb, is for Harry's to come up with more new products. That's the way I look at Harry's because I love it. They came up with the face wash after the shave gel and the shaving razor blades, and I love the face wash. I use it every day. Then, something I had never used a men's body wash before in my life until Harry's came up with theirs. Now I use it all the time when I want to get extra good smelling.
Mm-hmm.
So I use it all the time. So now, they use the face lotion that I have. That is in my medicine cabinet with their SPF 15. I think it's SPF 15. And I use that because I love that as well. And they're going to give you a trial set because that's the way they roll. Harry's founders were tired of paying for razors. They're great. So listen, if you don't love your shave, let them know. Harry's will give you a full refund. Get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. Weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover. Our listeners can redeem their trial set. I urge you to do this. If you're ready for a change in shaving, Harry's will rock your world, and I'm not kidding you. You'll be a regular Harry's customer like me. Go get it at harrys.com/TMOS. Make sure to go to harrys.com/TMOS to redeem your offer and let them know we sent you. It's fantastic stuff. It's coming in, I think, today. I think I get my new Harry stuff because I squeezed the last of the face wash out.
I used my Harry's razor last night, 2 a.m.
Really good. I mean, it's quality.
And they last forever. I can't believe how long each blade lasts.
I was an electric razor guy prior
to
that.
I remember
that. I don't
know
how I did that. I always used to look at my skin. It looked like Beirut.
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous.
Were you one of the guys that used the electric razor in the car on the way to work?
No, that's old. That's Mad Men. That's kind of like, you got that from TV. You got that from you would sit there.
I've seen it.
Yeah, but you never did it. You never did it. You saw it on the magic box.
Yeah, well, I was never an electric razor guy. I didn't like an electric razor.
You know what I did when I was a kid? My grandfather had this ancient electric razor that he used to use, and he had a blade cover where he'd put and he used to let me turn it on with the smooth part and pretend I was shaving.
Oh, that's cool. Nice. Was it a Remington?
Yeah. Gramps. Huh?
Was it a Remington? I'm trying to think of old school electric razors.
But it had that. It had that kind of old spicy smell to
it. Of course.
That is a memory. If somebody gave that to me, that olfactory memory, and pumped that into a candle, I would remember my grandfather.
It's like old spice and 3-in-1 oil, I bet, because it,
you should make a candle.
Before I get to the wheel stuff, I have to tell you, I am Carla asks me this week, and I have to be completely honest with our listeners as well. This week, traditionally for me, is always bittersweet. It's always, no, it's not bittersweet, it's bitter.
Yeah.
I always remember the Super Bowl back in the day, right before I lost my dad, 26 years ago, and always getting the call from my mom, seeing that red light. I can remember that red light showing me a message in my hotel room, and going back across the country and arriving, leaving on Friday, I believe it was, and getting to Hartford Hospital by Saturday, and bumping into my sister, who was arriving at the same time at the hospital. And I don't know if I've ever told this story. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't. But we come up, and we're going up to whatever floor it was, and the elevator doors opened up, and you heard somebody in one of the rooms going and I leaned over to my sister. I said, "Oh, welcome to ICU. Here we go." And then getting down to the room, and it was my father. And my father was the one who was making that noise. And I remember that the just how horrible that felt. And it, you know, when you go through anything, it informs the way you react towards other people, the way you are compassionate with other people. And regardless of how harsh we are to each other and how angry we get on this show, I believe that this incarnation of what I do, that I will always believe that no matter what disagreements I have with individuals, I have found two other people that I work with, and I mentioned Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, that in their own way, much different than the way I do it, but their own way, are two of the more compassionate people that I've met in this business. And that is what has made this thing, God, we're on a decade. We're going into our 10th year, and we're going into 10th years with struggles that I think many, the three of us probably separately with other people might go, okay, can't do it anymore. But that's what informs that. And when you go through something like I went through with that, it makes you more, if you take it in the right way, you become, you come out on the other side more compassionate. So when somebody shares a story of a loved one who's in the last days, hours of their life, I completely understand that. But after all these years, over two decades, going on three decades now, I still, during the month of February, have that time where I'm quiet, where I sit by myself, and I just reflect on that, and I remember that because I flew all the way across the country, and anybody that's lost a loved one knows this drill. And my mom said, it could be 3 hours, it could be 3 days, it could be 3 months. Go back and do your job. We know you have, and that's back when I was getting it done. Retrospect, had to do it all over again. Would have stayed up there until the end. Flew back to Washington, I think, on Sunday. My dad, we lost my dad Tuesday morning. And then I was on a plane, and I went back up there. And so I always feel that. And through any tragedy you go through, I remember making the funeral arrangements with my sister and my mother, who's also now gone. And I remember the guy. It was my first experience with an actual funeral director.
Yeah.
And the funeral director looked over at us, and he was going through all the different stuff. What's this casket? What's this process? This is what this costs. This way. And I said, and my mom, it was not overly emotional because she'd prepared for this, and my sister wasn't because she's just not. She's very tough. And he got done with his spiel, and I looked at him straight faced, and I said, well, all right, what do we have to order to get the free set of steak knives? and he didn't laugh. He didn't laugh at all. And that made it That made it 10 times funnier to me.
Yeah, of course.
And that's just like why all the tragic stuff, even with Beluga, where he says, I wanted to give the dog more time with your daughter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just take those and I latch onto those. But, you know, this is a time of year where I think it goes every other year. Some years it affects me more. I've been thinking about my dad. Here's a weird thing. We've got pictures on the wall, and yesterday I'm with my wonderful, beautiful son, who I've been, seems like, talking about every day now, and he points at this picture. He said, who's that? And there's this black and white picture with four men, and it was my dad at some, you know, insurance conference advertising thing he did. I said, that's my dad.
Aww.
And he stopped, and he looked at it, and he stared at it, and it realized, this is just weird when stuff like this happens, because I said, I've got to do a better job of teaching my son, even though he's not around, who his grandfather was, to keep him alive. And I plan on doing that more often.
And it's harder now because he's not going to be able to fill in the blanks based on black and white pictures. He's used to seeing videos and
color, living stuff.
And I went through that a little bit with my kids. They still remember, Julia does, Robert a little bit remembers Big Daddy because we lived with him when they were very, very little. And I'm trying to make
sure. Big Daddy
sure
is Rob's grandfather.
My maternal grandfather. And
not Big Daddy Kane.
No. And it's really tough because you want to underscore and make sure they remember these important things.
I would agree, though. I just had an experience not 3 months ago when Shannon was kind enough to go over to my mom's house and get all the photos ready for Legacy Box.
Right.
Because it was a nice opportunity for us, and she got them all out of my mom's and dad's photo albums, and there was just, parents had photo albums. If you're my age.
So you had photographs, they weren't like mosaics and etchings.
Yeah, no, there was.
From the old country.
But they weren't.
I was going to do the same joke. They weren't just drawings.
On they caves, Mike.
They
on
weren't
caves.
Drawings. They weren't drawings on animal skins.
On hides.
On hides. Yeah. Hides is funnier than animal skins.
Well, you want to get
Oscar gets the dinger on that one. There you go. Ding.
You want to get them scanned before they shrink anymore.
Elements.
So and your mom, God rest her, not rest her, so God bless her, is very young relative to us. So I wish
let
her
me say this.
30 more years.
I've
of life.
Never like I knew about my grandmother because my grandmother lived with my mom. And my abuelita Nati, right? So she would always reference her. And I seen like one or two pictures of her.
What abuelita what?
Abuelita Nati.
Abuelita, is that grandmother?
Yes.
Okay.
But I was a baby when she passed. So I just had pictures. I never heard of a great grandfather in my life, ever. And then a black and white picture. And I have it because I sent it to my brother.
Okay.
And when you see this old-timey picture from Latin America, it looks like it's something out of the Ocean City Boardwalk. Because it does not look real at all.
Old-timey photo.
So I stop. It's on their 65-inch screen at home, right?
Right.
I stop. And Legacy Box sends you the little fob. You just put right into your TV and it starts playing, right?
Right.
I was like, who is that? I was like, we got a mix-up because I'd never seen this photo. And my father says, that's your great-great-grandfather. And I said, he goes, and that right in the middle, the little guy is me. And I'd never seen a picture of him in my life.
Oh, really? So you were your great-great-grandfather, you were around.
I wasn't around. My father had gotten a picture. In Latin America, they were so poor. If you had a picture of your family, you were wealthy, right?
Right. Yeah.
Believe that it stole their soul.
So the idea that a picture existed, even black and white, Rob, blew my mind.
It made
me feel like there was a connection.
But I mean, were you in the picture?
No, my father was with his grandfather.
Oh, your father was a little baby.
I'd never seen a picture of anybody.
I would say that would be just a stunning early birth, if you were in a picture with
explains
your
a lot.
But this is the thing that
Benjamin Button.
It's so amazing that you're taking the time to go through these pictures. I talked about this. We went through pictures with my dad, and the entire generation that preceded him is now gone. And there's photographs that we don't know who they are. And obviously it's someone that's important because they were saved, they were framed. They're obviously from the 1890s or whatever. And we're having to use like detective work to try and figure out who they are. And it's weird.
Did I tell you the cruelest thing my sister did to me on my
cruelest or coolest?
That's just another cruel thing.
Oh,
Kathy's
cruel.
Done
okay.
Cruel. And, cruel. Is that nice? I
thought it was cool.
But no, it was the cool thing was when she sent me a picture of the Veen Dom.
That was cool.
Gordon Liddy's boat. Guess who's here? Kathy, my sister, is in the Veen Dom tree. When we see that cruise ship around the country, we think of Gordon Liddy, and she knows the joke. But anyway, we have a picture on the wall because my father was old. My father, you know, ancient. And there's a picture of my father as a kid because they did have a family, an Irish family that had money due to, I don't know, bootleg liquor or something like mm-hmm. that. And so, but he
medicinal
lost his mother.
Human trafficking.
Medicinal.
He lost his mother when he was 5 or 6 years old. And right. he lost his father when he was a teenager. And he was raised by these spinster aunts up there. And there were early photos of when his father and his mother were alive. And I have a picture. Yes, go ahead.
No, I love that you're telling the story. Please continue. I had a point when we're done.
But the picture is of my grandmother, who I never met, of course, died when my father was 5.
Right.
And my father and his 2 siblings. And I have it on the wall. And I have looked at that picture, the best picture taken of what I believed was my paternal grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
For years and years and years. And Kathy comes over. I said, I've got this great picture of Dad and our grandmother. And Kathy looks at it and goes, no, I think that was a nanny.
Oh!
All these years.
I think that was a nanny. She has no idea. And I'm like, a nanny? And I'm so, and I still have it because it's a good, but it sucks.
It's like, look at this piece of toast. It looks like Jesus.
Yeah. But she
I've had it for
but
months.
But does she know right. for sure that it isn't?
All I know is this. The picture of the nanny looks like some of the pictures of the, how do I say this delicately?
Yes.
Female family members from way back in okay. the O'Mara crew, which, you know, which really, if you put like the right makeup on them or the right hairpiece, you know, you could say, that's a man, baby.
Aunt
soup. It's just, it's, well, okay. It's just not, I didn't want to go down this road, but it's true.
I imagine that if it was the nanny, she would have a very distinctive voice.
Oh, little William. Oh, wow. Welcome to Connecticut. All right. There you go.
Wouldn't that have been special? Yes, you know?
This is my great, great, great grandmare. Grand treasure.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
No, there were no, there. All those pictures. And we've got a lot of them.
Oh, in Maine, pictures. You had a ton. I remember.
That's right.
I was
yeah.
like, oh my God, you have all these black and white pictures.
Yeah,
because
they did have buckaroos.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they spent them on photographs. Yeah. Great pictures of my uncle and my father in their World War II uniforms, you know, and then some color picture. It's just, it's very, very cool. But if you look way, way back, and I'm talking about my father's aunts, mm-hmm. aunts, as they say.
Aunts.
Aunts. They say aunts. You know, I don't know. You can look at some and the, you know, you
no
can tell
with
that these
the
women, this, you can look at these women and know that they buttered their donuts.
Yes, of course.
This
of course,
is how, that, this is how foreign do. My family is. We've got all these digital pictures
yes.
and you've got my dad and my mom and they have copies of these pictures. Like they have them. It's theirs.
Right.
They're taking pictures of the television of the pictures.
So you've actually gone to Legacy Box, had actual photographs scanned to a thumb
and
drive.
And they're taking pictures of
I
the
said,
television.
I said, Shannon, you think I make this up. Look at them. They're taking pictures at different angles from the TV because there's glare of the pictures that they already have digitally.
By the way, viral videos still. You know, you'll say, hey, I've got Gladys Knight singing the national anthem, and it's somebody who takes a picture.
Yeah.
A recording of their own television.
I get
knock
it,
that
but
crap
But I explained
off.
To my parents these are digital. You had them
you
physically.
Have them.
These are digital. I can send these to you. No, I want it on my phone now. Taking a picture of a picture on television. And I sent you all the picture, everyone on the show. This picture has glare on it because my mom took it, and it's of the screen. Which is hilarious.
Wow. What a great picture, though.
That is great.
What a great picture.
Shocked to see it in the
photo
album.
And I have to say,
which one is your dad?
My dad's the first little guy.
Oh, my God. He looks like
I can see you and a good-looking family.
Yeah.
A really, really good-looking family. And the grandfather, your great-great-grandfather... is he with the cowboy hat
yeah,
or
he's
the,
got,
with the cap?
He's got the hat on, the cowboy hat.
He looks like a badass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like three really, amigos. Really
he looks like Walter Houston.
three amigos.
Yeah.
Pony.
He looks just like. But the woman, is that your great-great-grandmother?
We don't know who she is.
Oh, I know. I know who that is. That's Mike's nanny. She got around.
No, I'm sorry. Too good looking. too good looking.
That is so cute.
That's really cool, Oscar.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Very, very, very cute. We'll take a break. I'm glad because I didn't want to use everything at the beginning of the show, but I have a criticism. And the fix is in, by the way, on Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, no.
And there's a man named Sajak who's responsible for the fix. All right? He ought to be arrested for it, and I'd like to see a congressional investigation.
We'll take a break.
We'll take a break and come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And the Lord spoke to his people, providing them these 10 commandments. Thou shalt not worship false podcasts. Thou shalt not use the name of Mike in vain. Honor thy father and mother by buying them a TMOS bonus package. Thou shalt not kill Oscar on Facebook. Thou shalt not steal Rob's little sounds. Thou shalt not covet Mike's wife. We pray in the name of Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, and Oscar Santana. Download in peace.
Dan, put down the tablets and take out the trash.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mike, you took it to the next level.
Totally cool.
Mike, you've taken it to the next level because now it is a digital scan of an actual photograph that was put on a television, taken a picture of, scanned, and then sent as a text that you are now showing on TV.
This is not meta.
No, it's not.
We can put it.
Where is my cover? Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brought to you by Me Undies. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Rather than spending all that money on flowers and going out to fancy restaurants, why not just hang out in your underwear all night?
Yeah.
Is that like fun? Courtesy of Me Undies. My Me Undies are seriously the most comfortable thing I've ever worn. Every pair of Me Undies uses a micromodal fabric, which is 3 times softer than regular cotton. It's exactly what you want down there. Pure bliss.
In my pants.
In his pants.
You can also get a style that is perfectly suited for you. Men and women can each choose from 4 different cuts, all of which are available from classic colors to adventurous prints, which I enjoy. Look out. Speaking of prints, this V-Day season, Me Undies will be releasing a new print every Tuesday. That means you and your loved one can chill in matching prints and play a game of how long can we keep these on? Me Undies has a great offer for our listeners, for any first-time purchasers. When you purchase any Me Undies, you get 15% off and free shipping. Why wait? Get 15% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you will ever put on. Get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com/TMOS. That's MeUndies.com/TMOS. Okay, now on to my favorite boring show every night. The Wheel! Talked about the couples. They're having couples week.
Boo!
And I don't know where they're hauling these people in from. Land of dumb.
Land of dumb planet.
Dummy planet.
Show talent.
It's just really the land of just dumb. Come on. And so, Rob, you probably know the details of this as far as these puzzles and everything.
Okay.
But here's the thing I wanted to talk about this week. I've said for a long time that Wheel of Fortune is the cheapest game show. They'll send Pat and Vanna over to Hawaii to do their little video stand-ups they use every night. But by and large, when you get beyond the bells and the whistles, you throw that $36,000 prize at people. Compared to, these million-dollar prizes that these game shows are giving away, Wheel of Fortune is not in the top tier,
in my opinion. Even if you look at bigger prizes, game shows are still very, very cheap to produce.
Very cheap to produce, and the prize they get, that $36,000, by the way, I did a statistical survey, 1 out of every 2 million contestants wins that $36,000.
Yeah, that's about
usually
right.
Usually it's like, oh, sorry, I'll take, you've got a choice between person, place, or thing. I'll take place, it's 3,400 letters, and we'll give you R-S-T-L-E.
Yeah.
And
I need three consonants and a vowel.
And it goes, doon, Oh, what a shame. Only one letter. And now you pick some up. No, it's just the game is frustrating because I'd like to see more winning. Now, at the very end, what do they call the very end? Because this is where I've got my real problem.
Showdown. I think it's I think
it's not. That's Price is Right.
I think it's just the final puzzle. The big puzzle.
Final puzzle.
Whatever it is. Yeah,
the final wheel.
But it's not like they do the regular pace of the game. What happens is thank you. Pat Sajak spins, and that dollar value is used for every correct letter guess.
Oh, you mean not the big money thing at the end? The final, when he says, when they get the ding, 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 we're out of time.
I don't know it either. Why are you trying to explain it? I explained it. It's the final puzzle.
I thought you were talking about the puzzle where they spin the mini wheel.
I'm going backwards.
Okay, I'm with you now. I'm with you.
By the way, the mini wheel, which can have up to like $100,000, never has it. It has $36,000.
Right, that's it.
If they win, that's what they're going to get, or they're going to get a car that's worth $8,000.
Right.
That's how it's going to go. That's how it goes. But what they do to get to that level, especially if it's a close game, they have a final spin. I mean, but this is not complicated.
The bonus
round?
Why
am I making it more? It's the the bonus round is when they spin the other wheel. This is the last puzzle.
Right.
And my point is Pat spins the wheel for the dollar value of each letter in the final puzzle.
Right.
Am I making myself clear?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So what my thing is, what Pat should do is he should give that final spin a big spin so at least it goes around once. And what he does, he does this half-assed little spin so that it's always $500 or $600.
I was going to say, it seems like it's $550.
Ever. Watch him.
Yes.
Tonight,
he knows what he's doing.
Watch Wheel of Fortune, and I know I'm an idiot, but watch Wheel of Fortune and watch him half-handedly spin it like a quarter of the way so he knows it's not going to last. And Carla says,
By the way, Mike.
Yes, Carla.
I remember when Wheel of Fortune would land on $5,000 occasionally.
Yeah.
No. Never happens anymore, and it's because the fix is in.
He knows what he's doing.
Pat Sajak is pleasing his masters by not spinning that to go with too much money.
Pleasing the late Merv Griffin?
Yes, Oscar.
Three rounds, from what I'm reading here on Wikipedia.
Right. Why don't we read for the people that, and then by the way, if you're dumb enough to go in, and we're doing a radio show, so we get a free pass, but if you're dumb enough to Google the rules of Wheel of Fortune, I feel for you.
Well, there's someone that's dumber, the person that actually went to Wikipedia and wrote them down.
Yes, this is true. Let's hear what the rules are.
Okay, so you've got the first round, the second round, the third round. The final round always is played in at least part of a speed-up format.
Aha!
So the speed-up format in which the host spins the wheel, each contestant in that round is worth the value of the red contestant arrow plus 1,000. Is that what you're talking about for vowels?
Yes.
Right. So okay. If he gets $500, they add 1,000 to it, and it's $1,500.
Bingo.
But it could be as much as like $5,000,
right.
And it never is.
Never is.
And it never is because Pat... See, they pretend they're being generous. They're not.
No, they're actually, Pat, they're keeping the upfront money down by giving
that's
the $500.
That's right.
Yes, of course.
I think they give somebody $1 or $2,000. I always feel sorry for those people.
Yeah.
You know, that are out there going, Rocky Road, didn't get one puzzle.
Yeah, most of those people lose the money before they get home. But not like gambling. They actually misplace it.
Yeah, that's not a theory. That's a fact, the way Pat does that with the wheel. What is a theory, because I want to be fair to Mr. Sajak, is he seems to get an extra spring in his step when there's a hot hottie contestant.
Ah.
And he seems to just like, well, let's go. So where are you from? These are all formulas. These are algorithms and formulas I consider. I'm going to do it. I've got this.
Yeah.
I use it to time the show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to time.
You're going
to
log?
If he gets a turbo hottie, I'm going to time the amount of time he spends, personal time, finding out about their life. And I guarantee it's just like, if you've got a hottie, if you got somebody that looks like Kate Beckinsale,
right?
He'll say, so that's fantastic. Well, listen, it's great to have you here. And he'll make one of it. Oh, by the way, another theory on Wheel of Fortune, yeah. Since I'm obsessing on it this week. Pat Sajak, conjurer. Do you think he has his little snarky lines written for him? Do you think he's that disengaged?
Wasn't there a rumor that he gets off the plane, goes straight to the set, knocks out all these shows, and then gets on a plane, comes right back to Annapolis, and he's done?
Yes. He knocks them all out. There was a contestant on the couples game last night. I'm so pathetic. By the way, I know I'm going to take heat. Yeah. Hey, Mike, you want to talk about Wheel of Fortune again? Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
It's
Thank
top
you very
of
much.
Mind.
So it's what I do. There's a contestant says, hey, Pat, well, you got an interesting story. You've got an interesting story about how you got married. Yeah. I proposed on Splash Mountain. Okay. And then Pat came back and said, well, I got engaged on Mr. Toadstool's, whatever the Disney
ride is.
Mr. Toad's Wild. Thank you for like. Sometimes I really like that brain of yours that you had that.
How
in your
do
brain.
You know that?
That's right.
I got engaged on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Ha 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 ha, Pat.
I think that he probably.
I wonder if that's written for him.
I think what happens is they probably say, all right, contestant Yellow is going to tell a story about his engagement. And
they know.
Say, and if you want, here's something you could say. It's probably handled.
And he uses them 80% of the time.
It's probably handled the way they handle contestants on the celebrities on Squares.
Hollywood Squares. They're don't given, say Squares like you're one of the celebrities. Say Hollywood Squares.
Hollywood Squares.
Like people, so the audience will know what you're talking about.
Where they're given the answer, the funny answer, and they have the option
but
of using it.
I was on Squares.
They're given the option of using it.
He would, that would be his fantasy. If you got into that brain and you know what he blew the candles out wishing for, he would love to be the center square.
I don't know. You know what? I might rather host that.
Is that still going? Is that, or is
no,
that
I
done?
They tried to reboot it. They tried.
A lot of
Why
times.
Why did it fail? It was the only funny game show.
I would watch
the only
it on
truly
sick days
funny game show. Bullying.
My theory is that it requires too many celebrities. You need 9 people to book on it.
And we don't have them anymore.
We don't.
Not even the B-listers.
Yeah, if you watch the once a week match game, I don't know 3 of them. And there's 6 people. And I don't know 3 of them? You know, that's horrible.
Like, Wheel of Fortune is so huge.
How
talk about mass appeal.
Is it?
How huge is it?
If you just Google Wheel of Fortune hot contestants, there's pages dedicated to this.
I read on Wikipedia the reason they're doing Couples Week this week is that Pat is looking for a threesome.
He's got some white rocks over his house.
He does. A key party.
Painted.
That's right.
I really think that...
Stop by Annapolis much?
Hollywood Squares...
Ooh.
Hollywood Squares would be... It was the fun... I think it might have been the funniest.
The greatest. Yeah, because it allowed the celebrities to cater to their strengths. And also, you know, there was the element of... the excitement of actual questions and then funny answers too. You know who was great on it was Bruce Valanche. He was a great contestant.
Well, he wrote for those.
Yes,
right?
He did.
Pride, anger, covetousness. I can never say that. Lust, gluttony.
Oh, by the way, let me start it again because this is Paul Lynn.
And that's Peter Marshall. So it's old.
You might not remember, but Paul Lynn had the funny lines. Let's see if there's any chance that these lines.
Her first.
Let's see if any of these lines hold up. All right.
All right.
This is from like the 1970s, Rob.
Right, yeah, early 70s, probably.
All right. Hold on a second. Let me see. I'm going to go back. All right, this is Paul Lynde.
Yes, sir.
I'll take Paul Lynde again.
During the 18th century, it was common for a bride to sell something at her wedding reception to help pay for the cost of the wedding. What did she sell?
Her firstborn.
Okay. Sorry. Reasonable.
I laugh at those. I laugh at Paul Lynde. I laugh at him. I still
there
think
there is
he...
now a travel agency
Listen
that
to that
specializes
recording.
In nude cruises to Europe.
I bet I know how to pick the captain.
I'm sorry, that holds up. He was an effeminate man who was in
he?
The center square.
Mike.
That's how they picked the captain.
Say, still, yes. Was he still a bachelor at that point?
Who knows? Rob, come on. You know
so
the answer to that.
If you go into Reddit and you write Wheel of Fortune conspiracy, or even if you Google it, you'll find articles that are dedicated to debunking this conspiracy, which I always say, if there's so much information out there saying it's not rigged, it's not fake, it's probably rigged. Listen to this. The wheel is not rigged. Over the years, there's been conspiracy theories that Pat Sajak has a foot brake on which he will stop the wheel where he walks.
No, that's a foot brake. Nods like a 1920s brake. Roulette wheel.
This you want another Paul Lynde line?
I do.
Likely you are to take a drink now and then.
Is that why Catherine Kuhlman slurs her words?
Okay, that's too dated. It's too dated.
This
all right,
theory came about after viewers noticed that during the show's final spin, where Sajak himself spins the wheel,
that's right.
The wheel never lands on bankrupt or lose a turn. Well, folks, sorry.
Or on $5,000.
Or $5,000.
However, he brings up a very valid point.
Well, folks.
That it never lands on any of the bad things either because it would slow the game
down.
Sorry
to burst your bubble. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. As neat as it would be to find out that it would have been a massive conspiracy with Sajak going over the decades, it's just not true. The truth is the wheel does land on bankrupt and does land on lose a turn during the final spin. Editors simply edit that out for timing purposes.
Okay.
Oh. What?
Yeah, so that's why they can say portions not affecting the outcome of the game have been edited prior to broadcast.
Oh, wait. I have the same article, though, and it says underneath that, P.S., Mike O'Mara, you are a pathetic loser.
Oh, no.
Thank you very much.
No.
Thank you. I'm fascinated. This is great.
Game shows.
Mike, I believe at home I have an LP, and it's called Hollywood Squares Greatest Zingers. Would you like to give it a spin sometime soon?
Why don't you... give us the highlights of it, and
that'll be
and
a
bring
good
it in,
20
bring
seconds.
It in for show and tell. I wouldn't mind hearing it.
Turn it over to side two.
We'll take a break. Come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. Appropriate.
Do you know what Adolf Hitler and Pol Pot have in common? They never ordered the TMOS bonus package. And what do people think of them? I'll tell you. They're jerks. Compare that to Lena Gilmore and Jim Amato, both faithful subscribers to the bonus show. They are beloved. So who do you want to be like, Lena or Hitler? The choice is clear. Order the bonus show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. We're thrilled to announce that in 2019, our partnership with Zappos continues.
Yes!
Zappos.com offers all of the latest and greatest footwear, apparel, handbags, and accessories. And thanks to over 1,000 trusted brand names, Zappos.com is able to help millions of customers create a long-lasting wardrobe that they love. Our partnership is built on listener support. So when you need footwear, apparel, basically anything that covers your epidermis, please think Zappos first. You'll love their legendary customer service. There is none better. And for a limited time, Zappos.com is offering all of their TMOS friends 15% off their purchase by using the TMOS code at checkout. You shop, you save, you support. Love this company. As always, Zappos.com provides fast free shipping, free and easy returns, 24/7 friendly customer service, and a 365-day return policy. Remember, Zappos.com and the TMOS code for 15% off. This is a limited time offer, so act now. Thanks to Zappos.com, there has never been a better time to look your best. Thank you, Zappos. And yes, look, it's real. It's the way we live. It's what I like. But I am fascinated sometimes by simple things like Wheel of Fortune.
And also, it's always bothered me, especially at that final puzzle. They know exactly the letters that are going to be given to them, and they can guess the letters that the people are going to pick. And in that element, the solution is 85% fixed. If you put something like
The point you're making, this is the final thing we see.
Right.
Where they get a chance to win the big money.
Exactly.
The point is they pick puzzles and you say the fix is in based on the degree of difficulty.
Yeah, if you put a puzzle up that has an X or a Z or a J or some uncommon letter that's key to the solution,
right,
you're not going to get it because you're not going to see those letters. So although it is on the surface absolutely random, it's not, and it's always in the favor of the house.
L, yes, there is an L. Yes, sir. I'd like to buy a vowel. I, yes, there is an I. All right. C, yes, there is one C. One C. M, well, how about that? You've got to know. There is an M. I'd like to buy an E. Yes, there is one an E. Is it lick me? Yes, it is. Thank you.
And that category would be, what are you doing?
Dealer's choice. And you decide. I have eight facts from Wheel of Fortune you may want to know. I can ask you if you want to know them now. I can send them to you in an email. You can decide for tomorrow's show. I don't know if you want
to. For tomorrow's Wheel of Fortune segment?
Yes.
Since we. Tomorrow's Wheel of Fortune on the most pathetic show in America. Give me one pertinent. We will button this up today.
I'll give you the titles, and you tell me which one you want. All right.
All right. Okay. Of the facts.
Of the facts.
The fun facts.
I can give you more detail.
Oh, this is fun fact day on Wheel of Fortune.
No, he's gonna. That's a perfect way to end this segment.
Okay.
He will give me the choice. How many facts do you have?
Well, there are eight left because I gave you the one about the footprint.
Give me the eight. Give me the eight, and I will pick the one that I want to hear.
Okay. Do you want to hear more about the wheel looks bigger on TV? Or no. Do you want to hear more about how the host used to get drunk before taping of the show in the early
days?
Heard
that one, knew that one already, that they used to like
you
that.
Don't care about Van and the Guinness Book of World Records, I imagine.
No.
The Wheel and Jeopardy host switched places once. I'm sure you guys have talked about that.
Remember that.
Okay.
Pat and Vanna only work 4 days each month. They give you more detail about their schedule.
Wow.
I hear their schedule? Yeah. And I think people, Rob, am I right? People might be interested in that. All right, what is their grueling work schedule? And by the way, and he chooses to live in in Maryland.
Different coasts, yes.
He's an only, right?
The duo usually tape 5 or 6 episodes in a row, typically only working 1 day per week. Vanna still shows up early to get her hair and makeup done, and Sajak doesn't really worry about his job that much. But they work 4 days each month.
Vanna also sometimes shows up because she forgets.
So, hold on. So, they work 4 days each month. Does that mean if they tape one show a week,
They work 1 day a week.
5 to 6 shows in that day.
And they burn out a week of shows in 1 day. So they only have to work 1 day a week. Yeah, and then they stack them. Especially if they're doing 6.
But if they stack them, does that mean he flies into L.A. once a week?
Sounds about all right, yeah.
Probably private.
Yeah.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Well, I know Rob and I are thinking the same exact thing.
I'm out.
Why wouldn't you do like all the shows in 1 week and then...
Yeah, do the Fred McMurray thing. Do your entire season in a week and a half.
Right.
And then you're done.
No wonder he cheats.
Yeah.
No wonder he cheats people with the wheel. That's
and
why
also,
he does that.
Probably every fifth or sixth show, he's going to be a super dick because he's tired.
Right.
Can I give you just my personal favorite that I didn't
yes,
know existed?
Yes, one last one, yes.
There's a dummy board to help contestants. And you may wonder, what's a dummy board?
What's a dummy board?
If players need help remembering which letters have been guessed
already. Oh, the used letter board, yeah.
A helpful screen shows them. There's another screen for Pat which tells him how many of each letter are in the puzzle. So he knows before it actually is guessed.
Oh, okay.
Originally, this was a job for an intern who held a finger for each letter. So fingers would be 2 B's if he actually had them.
Yeah. So what this is, when you see somebody... guess a letter that's already been picked, you're dealing with a flatliner.
Yeah, exactly.
You're dealing with somebody that shouldn't be able to feed themselves. All right? I'm sorry.
Because they have a little screen in front of them.
Because they have a little screen and they still screw it up because they're too busy going, look at all the bright lights.
I have heard him say, he goes, he says, got to keep an eye on that used letter board.
And then they look back at him and go, F you, Pat. All right, that's it. No more. Well, we're going to take a break and we will come
back
with news you may not need.
Love it.
Right here. There we go. Yeah, give us all the crap you want. We talked about Wheel of Fortune for 3 segments. We'll be right back, everybody. Bye bye.
You asked and we listened. Now you can listen on Spotify. In our never-ending effort to make it easier for you to access our content, The Mike O'Mara Show can now be streamed on Spotify, just another platform that gives you full TMOS access. So go grab the show and listen and spread the word. The more you know, the more we grow. TMOS on Spotify. Grab it.
February 6th. I'm reading ahead and...
Don't read ahead. It ruins it.
Oh, you probably wrote it, so I'd ask. February 6th, the birthday of Babe Ruth, Ronald Reagan, and even better, Axl Rose. But hey, let's not bury the lead. Today, Tom Brokaw, turns 79 years old.
Hey, Tom!
And he can still do a kip-up. What the hell is a kip-up?
Do you remember? It's the thing where you lay on your back and you use your leg strength to jump up on your feet.
Stand up.
Kip-up.
A kip-up.
Take that, Dan Rather. Speaking of Rather...
dare you.
Wouldn't you rather be listening to the bonus show? Well, you can't listen if you don't subscribe, bitches. So please buy our thing. Remember, the future of our show depends on it. It's the most fun we have each week, and it still has that yummy flavor that screams Axl Rose's discarded kilt.
Ew!
Just go to MikeOMaraShow.com, click what I like to call the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content. You'll be helping TMOS. And we thank you, bitches.
News.
Charlie Sheen won't get married again, and there's a simple reason. He sucks at it.
Yeah, he's not good.
He says, quote, when you're really mad at something, there's really no reason to keep pursuing it. Plus, Charlie doesn't even have time to date right now. Here's another quote. There's no place for it right now in the current landscape. Thanks, Charlie. Charlie's been married 3 times to Donna Peel from 1995 to 96, to Denise Richards from 2002 to 2006, and to Brooke Muller from 2008 to 2011. If you want to find more about Brooke Mueller, I suggest you tap into the Mueller investigation.
And I know I've told this story before, but I always love to repeat it, is that when he was going through the divorce with Denise Richards, he walked into a room that had his kids in it and took their wedding portrait off the wall and wrote on it, mistake.
Mm.
Yes, yes, yes. Winning.
Winning. Tiger blood.
All right, big controversy, rough week for Liam Neeson with these racial comments about him and what he said floating around. He finally got around to clarifying that he's not a racist in an interview with Robin Roberts on Good Morning America, which, by the way, would I be correct in assuming Good Morning America, Land of the Gets? They're getting everybody.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're getting everybody. He said he just had a primal urge to lash out after his friend was raped by a black man. And if the assailant was white, he would have wanted to lash out against a white guy. He also said he asked the victim other questions about the attacker, not just his race. He said, quote, "I was trying to show honor and stand up for my dear friend in this terrible medieval fashion. I'm a fairly intelligent guy, and that's why it shocked me when I came down to earth after having these horrible feelings." As for how he got over it, he said, quote, "I did seek help. I went to a priest, and I said, I will find you. I will kill you." No, he said he went to a priest, had two very good friends talk to, and believe it or not, power walking 2 hours a day to get rid of this. I saw the interview, watched the entire thing. The entire interview, look, the reason you get into trouble here is because you identify race.
Yep.
If you never identify the race and he didn't make that a relevant factor, that wouldn't be the deal. But he was honest when he did it, and he did experience that racial discriminatory rage. And he's out, and what he said in detail was that he went out through black neighborhoods hoping that he would get set upon, as he said it, and inflict damage on black people just because she said, his friend, that she was raped by a black man. So, look, I believe in his contrition. He came out and he said that. But he's very open about the fact that this is very much alive in society today.
Yeah.
You don't believe that. I mean, just look around.
Right? I thought he was quite contrite. However, I thought it was slightly cheapened that as they were going to commercials, he said, "Oh, yes, and see the movie. It's quite good."
Oh, did he say that?
Yeah, he did. Going to spots. Oh. Yeah.
All right. That's Miller Lite responded to Bud Light's corn syrup Super Bowl commercials by stating the difference between corn syrup and high fructose corn syrup, and also pointing out that corn syrup is just for the fermentation process and doesn't actually end up in the beer. Hey, Bud and Miller, we don't care!
Ditto, baby.
Just shut up, big and beer companies.
Miller, you're the hot chick.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
You're a better beer. You don't even have to tell us.
Miller's the hot chick.
We don't care about the ingredients.
But Bud has the better ad agency.
Yeah.
Because they made it funny, and the Dilly Dilly is one of the best campaigns ever. And
I believe Bud Light still
want to drink, though.
Number one selling beer in the nation, right? Bud Light still is.
Is it number one selling?
I believe it is. Yeah, I know that.
But Oscar, when he says the hot chick, he means that it's the better beer.
Not.
In my opinion, it's not.
No, I don't like.
You like Bud Light?
No, I don't. You know what? I don't like light beer. So If you had to choose
one of the light beers,
it would probably be Miller. Okay, then I concede that, but I would not drink.
Hold
light
on.
Beer.
If we listen, let's listen to Rob's BWAG engaging in the thought process of which one he's going to pick.
That's it.
All right, very good.
Okay. I'll have one Bud Light, please.
All right. Here's yet another reason why it's rough being a single woman. Single men stink. And that's not metaphorically. They literally smell offensive.
They smell terrible. They smell bad.
They smell bad. That actor, Rob, they smell bad.
They're offensive. Smelling. I mean, they smell bad.
They literally smell terrible. Evolution has trained you to think that that's a good thing. Hear me out here. A new study out of Australia found that single men naturally smell worse than men who are in relationships. And it's not because single men have worse hygiene.
He's great.
But that's not the reason. It's because single men produce more testosterone.
Yeah, Ooh. Pony.
Woo.
Yeah. Is that true, Pony?
I have no idea, but my beard will not stop growing.
Well, it leads to nastier body odor, but it's not holding them back from dating. The women in the study smelled a bunch of single men's shirts and married men's shirts. And even though the married men smelled better, the women were more attracted to the single men.
Yeah. I bet the married men's shirts were all in the dryer still because the wife hadn't put them away yet.
You know what movie I've been watching a lot lately?
What's that?
The Revenant.
Oh, that's a fun film.
Smell those shirts.
That's testosterone all over it. Right.
But you know, I have a small, since I've watched it now, believe it or not, I watched the same scene two nights in a row. I have the scene right before he's attacked by the bear. All right.
Yeah.
This will be the sound of the bear in the distance,
right,
followed by the sound of the baby bears. I'm trying this on the fly here, so bear with
bears.
This will be the sound of the bear, the big bear, the mama bear in the distance, then the baby bear, and then the charge of the mama bear. All right. So he's walking through the woods. Turn that music up. He's walking through the woods. You hear. Thank you
that's
very much.
Wonderful.
Yes!
Here's the video. There's the video. Good. Thank you.
It was actually perfect timing.
Yeah, it's actually it really added
it's
to the presentation.
We don't see you.
It was like when Frank Gorshin
What's
used
wrong
to turn
with our
around.
Video, for God's sake. Anyway, so women like stinky guys.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, moving right along. McDonald's French fries are amazing. I think we can all agree. I love McDonald's French fries.
The best.
Fast food French fries, they're numero uno. If they're hot, they're good. However, once they get cold, they turn back to their natural state of something between styrofoam and cardboard.
Right.
Soggy.
So some writers at a food website called The Takeout, it's an interesting sounding website, decided to run a study to see how many minutes you have to eat McDonald's fries before they turn nasty.
Mm.
Here are the results. The first 5 minutes after they're made are the sweet spot where they taste the absolute best. At number two, between 5 minutes and 13 minutes, they're still pretty good, but they start getting cold and the texture starts changing from crisp to mushy. Number three, at 13 minutes, they've stopped being crisp and rapidly lose their taste.
Ooh.
And by 17 minutes, they basically become inedible. Show of hands, who's eaten McDonald's French fries after 17 minutes?
I have.
All three of us.
Of course.
Thank you very much.
Would you like to know a great French fry hack for McDonald's?
What's that?
If you go in and order fries unsalted, they will make you a fresh batch because they have to.
You got
to
wait for that.
Well, yeah, but you know what? You don't have to wait that long. And you get that. If you see that they've been sitting out and you want a fresh batch, and then you just salt them when you get to the table.
How do you know this?
Because this is what I know.
Exactly. Thank you. Rob Spiewak. That'll be on his tombstone. This is what I know.
Well, actually, Mike, if it's a tombstone, it'll be this is what I knew.
This is what I knew. Thank you. And now a little something. There is a 64-year-old named Robert Hakins of Stuart, Florida.
Now, Stuart, Florida, I'm not familiar with, and I have no idea where it would be in the state.
I'm on the left side. He's on the right side.
Oh, I can almost picture it. Thank you, Stuart.
Stuart.
You see, I was thinking of Stuart.
Matt TV.
I was thinking of Stuart Chandler from All My Children.
Sorry about that. Last month, Robert Hakins was in his hot tub with his 38-year-old wife. By the way, he's 64. Disgusting.
That is unacceptable.
He was in his hot tub with his 38-year-old wife, Kristen, and their 50-year-old friend named Ted Vest.
Hey, what's your name?
Hi, Ted Vest. Around 11 p.m., Robert went inside to go to sleep and left Kristen and Ted alone in the hot tub.
Who was with Kristen?
Ted Vest.
Ah.
Eventually, Ted Vest and Kristen started getting it on. Robert eventually looked out of his window and saw what was happening, so he screamed that he was going to effing kill them. He then ran out with his gun, because that's required to have you're required to have a gun in Florida.
Right.
And he fired two shots. He said he didn't fire the shots at them. He fired them in a different direction. Like what? You know, you could even express that a little better.
I know.
All right, Robert, you could say, I fired them into the air. I fired them in a different direction. I fired them at the neighbor's house. Duh.
It wasn't the same direction. It was a different one.
Well, rightly so. He was still arrested for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. The question still remains, Was the wife hotter than the water temperature in the hot tub? Am I right, ladies?
I want to tell you.
I want pictures. Anyway, that's it. We got to take a break.
Dead vest.
Audio vault from a man who it's just what he knows is coming up right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, it's Chris Freitz with Political Persuasions. This week, Mike is already smitten with Kamala Harris. We ask if Howard Schultz, the coffee king, has what it takes to get to the White House. Plus, Trump insider Roger Stone is arrested. Warm your cold eardrums with some Political Persuasions this week. Tune in.
God bless the United States.
You can download Political Persuasions at politicalpersuasions.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasts are found.
This week on Political Persuasions, I will be breaking down the State of the Union address by President Trump and showering him with compliments.
Of course.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by the TMOS Shopping Center. Already it's February, and it's hat season.
It is.
Whether you need something warm to battle the polar vortex or a sun visor to combat the spring-like sunshine, everyone needs a hat. Whether it's a fedora, a beret, a boater, a fez, a beanie, a busby, a deer stalker, a sombrero, or a Homburg, a hat is where it's at.
Yeah!
And you can always buy hats at your numero uno headgear destination, MikeOMarishow.com. You see, our site features Macy's, Target, and Walmart, and when you shop these retailers through our portal, you're supporting the Mike O'Mara Show. So the next time you need a helmet, a mitre, a beretta, a bicocket, a topper, a Panama, a coconut straw, a pork pie, or a turban, just go to the TMOS Shopping Center. It has everything. This could be your best work. It even has pork pies, pillboxes, derbies, bonnets, mortarboards, toques, Stetsons, tam o' shanters, coonskins, and Ushankas. Or is it Ushanka?
I think it's Ushanka.
Thank you. So shop like you mean it, and just make sure that you start your shopping at the banners on our website. Costs you nothing but means the world to us. Macy's, Target, Walmart, and TMOS. Oh, and baseball hats. Now let's open up the audio wall. Man,
Google's wow. Fun. Mike, do you still take most of your news at ABC4, Charleston, WCIV?
I record it every night.
I know you do.
I have one of my butlers fly down and pick it up.
I love the fact they carried this on their news the other night. A cop was called to corral a sheep in a residential neighborhood, and he was wearing one of those body cameras. So we have audio of the cop talking to the sheep while he's waiting for animal control. So this poor cop, this is not why he got into law enforcement, but right. I think he's pretty good with animals.
Come on, come on, come on. I'm taking you to greener pastures. I don't know what you want to eat, man. You're a nervous eater?
That's hysterical.
That's not appropriate. Look at this clover right here. Clover is a very calming thing. Have you ever had clover honey? Clover tea? Hey, look at all these guys over here. Oh, yeah, look at that. All right, look at that yellowness. Succulent dandelion. Well, this is your last meal. Animal control is here. Do not embarrass me. This is a coworker. Stop that. This is not how I pictured my Tuesday going at all.
What great audio.
I love it.
Funny guy. That is, and he knew he had the body cam on,
sure,
right?
Sure, of course.
That is damn. Oh, here's to law enforcement. Yeah. Fantastic. Very
Mike, cool. We share a lot of common ground. I know we are both, we have a thing sort of for many years for Dolly Parton. And She continues to do great work. She did the music for the most recent, what's her name? Jennifer Aniston movie that was Dumplin', that was a big thing on Netflix over the holidays. She knew at age 10 she wanted to be a performer. But here's the real reason I pulled this piece of tape. This is the first time that Dolly might be showing her age dentally.
Oh.
Where the teeth feel...
Oh, is it the sound?
They just seem a little loose.
As soon as I learned to play that guitar... When I was about 7,
I started writing some serious songs after that.
Where'd you get the guitar?
Well, one of my uncles gave me the guitar. It was a little baby Martin, and another one of my uncles taught me how to play it. And every time anybody would come around, I'd learn new chords, and everybody played instruments in our family. And so that was just natural. I just kept doing it, kept writing, and kept singing, and I just wanted to sing for anybody that would listen. That was my dream.
Listen.
All right, I have a theory.
Okay.
We could do a segment on it, but I'll just mention it briefly. Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins, too.
Yeah, you're right.
Do you think perhaps that when, like most Hollywood celebrities do, they get the mouth full of piano keys, that it, later in life might cause when the mouth begins to shrink, like the rest of
the entire body shrinks? Yeah, they probably don't go in for tune-ups, and you need a tune-up.
I mean, when you think of people like Larry King, Dick Van Dyke, maybe Dolly, you know, it's all... Or it could be just the mouth when you get older. I'll find out. You'll be able to experience that on the Michael Merritt show.
Breakfast.
You
know,
if I come in there,
we'll tell you. We'll be the first
at the end of the show.
You.
I'll still do the show. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But if I come in a Froshker Shinchan and Rob Spreewet, you'll know that there's an issue, right?
Michael Bolton swears he did not fall asleep.
Sure looked like it.
It really did. He said he was he had lost the audio. He was doing an interview with England.
Okay.
And so it was a satellite hookup. Australia, forgive me. Either way, it was a satellite hookup, and he lost audio in his IFB, his headphones.
And it looked like, because he was doing a radio TV tour, that he was closing his eyes and catching a catnap.
Waiting for the show to come on.
He said he was tweeting. But anyway, I think it's very funny the way it's handled, because you have to imagine he's sitting perfectly motionless with his eyes down. Michael Bolton says he did not fall asleep.
As always, we're looking forward to talking to the great man. Michael Bolton joins us now live from Florida. Good morning and welcome back to the show. Michael, you got us okay?
You can see him.
Maybe he's just updating Instagram.
Hi, Michael. It's Kylie and Larry. We're with you live.
It's gone silent.
Michael, can you hear us after such a great intro? Please tell us you can hear. We didn't want to waste that intro. Michael Bolton, live in Florida. Can you hear us?
We might have to come back to Michael.
He looks like maybe he's on Instagram.
Michael.
Why don't you slip into his DMs?
He looks asleep.
Silent.
He looks asleep.
Michael Bolton. Michael, are you there? Hello, Michael Bolton. Good night, mate.
So I love firefighters. I love first responders, which is why this story is especially creepy. In West Virginia, they arrested firefighters because they found out, because of boredom around the firehouse, they were setting fires so they could go put them out.
Jesus Christ.
Just shocked because things like this normally does not happen in Barbersville. I personally do know several of them, and, you know, they're always there. They're always here for the village, and it was wrong. That's just not something you just randomly go out and do, start fires.
But as you know, it is the plot to Backdraft.
It's a living thing, Brian. It breathes. It eats. And it hates. The only way to beat it is to think like it. Flame will spread this way across the door and up across the ceiling, not because of the physics of flammable liquids, but because it wants to. Some guys on this job fire wrongs and makes them fight it on its level. But the only way to truly kill it is to love it a little.
You gotta love it, man, if you want to kill it. It's the truth.
Yeah, that's scary.
It is scary.
Probably more than one, you know, example of that, probably.
Okay, and so we close with this. Big theme park news, Mike. Guess who's opening a theme park?
Who?
Tyra Banks.
Ooh.
And the theme of the theme park.
Let me play this. Hold on just a second. How exciting is this? All right.
And the theme of the theme park, Mike, is models.
Supermodel Tyra Banks has announced she will be opening a beauty-focused theme park later this year called Model Land. And Leonardo DiCaprio has already been on all the rides.
That's your magic audio vault. Have a good Wednesday, everybody.
Yeah, I had to use that one. You have a few and far between, but that one was good. Another one in the can. Thanks for joining us for another riveting episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. If you have a message you'd like to hear in our Tuesday mailbag, send it to rob2bs@mikeomarashow.com. Remember the bonus show. We'd appreciate you getting that. That
Do
supports
it.
The show. It's as easy as pie. Just as tasty. And as Rob Spiewak explained, you can get a hat. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak. Oh, no, that's the shopping website.
Oh, but get a hat, too.
We don't give away hats.
No, but we sell them on our website.
Get a hat.
Yeah, we do. Thank you. All right, but bonus show and hats are separate.
Yes.
Thank you. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara. Thanking you for your continued amazing hat support for the best part of your day. The Mike O'Mara Show. Tip of the hat to you. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
What's she doing, man?